button. Amen. I can hit this button. You can hear my voice a little more clearly. But I'm depending on the Holy Spirit to hit the button in your heart. Because that's where you have an ear to hear. If that ear to hear, you want to hear the Word of God tonight. Amen. Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. Reading just that verse tonight. How many believes we are living in the day, in Bible days again? Amen. We're living in a specific day, which I believe is Bible days fulfilled. Hallelujah. It's not a time when the Bible's being written. It's not a time before the Bible started being written, but it's our day. Amen. When the Word of God has to be fulfilled. It says in Revelation 10:7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he is about to sound, that is to blow a trumpet, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. May God bless you. You may be seated. What is the mystery of God? Let's clear that up right away. You should know this by now. It is Christ revealed. And what good is it for Christ to be revealed? Amen. If it's only on tapes or messages or pamphlets or at Voice of God recordings, what good is it for Christ to be revealed if we put it in a box somewhere? That's our God. He's in this box. That's our God. He's on this tape. He's in this book. What good is revelation if it's not personal to you? That is the whole purpose of revelation, is that God's people can hear God's voice. God can use a vessel to speak, and the voice goes out. We read our Bible. We believe it's the Word of God. Yet we know that those words that we are listening to are spoken through prophets. Can you say amen? Right. Prophets were speaking, but it was God anointing and God inspiring. In some cases, the prophets didn't even know what they were saying. And sometimes they would speak it, and it would be recorded, and they would have to go back and start digging through whatever they had as far as scrolls go to try to find out what in the world did God mean when he said that through me. When a prophet said, behold, a virgin shall conceive, why in the world did I say that? He probably wondered. The Bible says prophets searched to try and understand the things that God is revealing to you today. They were searching the very words they had spoken. That tells you that it was not the man speaking, but God speaking. That's why the Bible is God's word. It doesn't just contain God's word, it is God's word. Amen? Hallelujah. But the mystery of God is Christ revealed. Christ revealed to you, hallelujah, and this is one of the dynamics of the things of God. Christ cannot be revealed to you without coming into you. Christ cannot, the word, anointed word, cannot be revealed to you without ending up inside of you. Christ ends up in you by revelation. Anything else could be revealed to you. God could reveal to you how to build a tabernacle and all the measurements, how to build an ark and all the measures. That doesn't mean God is in you. That means you have a revelation that struck your mind and gave you clear thoughts, instructions. But when Christ is revealed, then he ends up inside of you. Can you say amen? Because we know that is a fact, because Paul spelled it out clearly when he said, what is the mystery that's been hid throughout all eternity and is being revealed right now? Paul said, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Apostle Paul referred to the mystery of God being the Father and the Son, Christ, God, the Father, and his Son, Jesus Christ. The point being that all that was in God, he poured out into Christ. Can you say praise the Lord? That is the beginning of the mystery, and Paul spells that out because that's exactly what happened in Paul's day. But now we're living in another day. It is time for the fullness of what was in Christ to be poured into a church or a bride. Can you say praise the Lord? It started on Pentecost, but it's finishing up now. The mystery of God includes the bride. The prophet of God cleared that up, gave it a threefold revelation on what that mystery is. Mystery of God is all that was in God he poured into Christ. Praise the Lord. That's where we're going to celebrate Christmas, what that's all about. But all that was in Christ, then he poured into his church, demonstrated on the day of Pentecost. And going on through seven church ages, the mystery of God is continuing. It's going into a bride form. Praise the Lord. And it's going to be capped off in us. And then finally, through a bride, he's going to do the final or the third part of the mystery of God. Praise the Lord. Brother Tom. Hallelujah. Have to tease him a little bit. I was testing everyone. How many has ever heard Christ, the mystery of God revealed? All your hands go up. How many knows what the three purposes are that Brother Branham revealed and spoke about? And some of you started getting it. You said, oh, it's all that was in God, he poured into Christ. All that was in Christ, poured into his church. And the third one is, and then we start digging and digging. So Brother Tom finally sent me a little note saying, this is what it is. Hallelujah. So we're getting there. It's beautiful. But we're not speaking about that yet tonight, not fully, partially. What is the mystery of God? It's Christ revealed in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. And what is your hope of glory? I want to have a glorified body. I don't know about you. That is the hope of glory, right, Brother James? I got a glorified body. I want to be in the resurrection, the rapture, the change. I got to be part of all of it. That is what it's all about. If Christ is in me, then I can't die ever. I'm going to live forever. I'll die physically maybe, but I'll be resurrected again. So, you really don't die. Your body separates from your spirit, or I should say the other way. Your spirit separates from your body, but your spirit is you, and he's still alive. So that is a earthly type of death, but you can never truly die because no one can die, amen, if they are a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, if they're saved. Thank you, Brother Tommy, for the little waters you went out and got. I appreciate that. Makes it kind of nice. Hallelujah. Notice the seventh verse here. It does not declare these things happening in the days of the seventh messenger. You have to understand that every detail in the Bible has a significance, has a purpose. It's clearly speaking in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger. Not in the days of the seventh messenger. In other words, if it was the days of the seventh messenger, it would be 1909 to 1965. Somewhere in there, the mystery of God is finished, completed. Praise the Lord. And it's very clear. It says, in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, that would mean from 1963, when he is about to sound, meaning that the time that he blows his trumpet is the time that he declares his message. He has been preaching all along from the 30s all the way to the 40s and the 50s and going into the 60s. He's been preaching, but notice he himself declared that it was his third pull or third phase of his ministry. First was the healing in the hands, holding somebody's hand. Second was discernment, but he said finally comes the opening of the word, the message, his trumpet. Then as he's blowing his trumpet, that's the time frame, during that time frame, that the voice begins. And the voice, I can tell you, we are still living in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger. Do you believe that? Brother Ram says, how do you know the messenger of any age? Some ages were 1,000 years long. How could that messenger be around that long? He just wasn't. Columba was around during the Dark Ages. He started it. And how do we know? He says, because he said it is the one whose message or whose voice influenced the entire age. So we are in the age of the voice of the seventh messenger. So the mystery of God starts in 1963 as far as completion, and it's going to go capture every single person God has predestinated to be in this, to be a part of it. Praise the Lord. It's going to capture everybody. And then the mystery is completed. Do you believe it? Watch, I'll go a little bit further. Christ, the mystery of God revealed in the believer. When the last elect seed receives the revelation of Christ in you, the hope of glory, then the mystery of God is finished. I just feel, I almost want to say it like I fear, like Paul said it, that people are getting a revelation that God sent a prophet and they're stuck right there. They're not going any further. They're just stuck on God sent a prophet. What good is a prophet if he doesn't have a message? He doesn't have a voice. Amen. And if he has a voice, then what has that voice done for you? Well, it needs to come into you by revelation. Can you say amen? And even though we use the term voice of or message of, we don't mean that it is that the source of the message is the messenger. Remember, the messenger, it's just like we say today, don't shoot me. I'm just the messenger. That means he's carrying a message that's from someone else. He's the messenger of the king. It's the king's message. The sword that came in his hand was demonstrating, I'm giving you a sword that's not your sword, because you're afraid of swords. I'm giving you a sword that's my sword, and I'm going to let you carry it. Just like Gideon, who they broke open the jars, and there was the light or the fires burning everywhere, and his sword in the other hand. And Gideon said, you know, something, I forget the word he used, but he called it the sword of the Lord. Hallelujah. And that defeated the enemy. The enemy got so afraid, they killed each other. God wants us to have such a revelation that it becomes the sword of the Lord. It's so powerful that demons start attacking themselves. Praise the Lord. I want Satan in his kingdom to have an autoimmune disease. I want Satan's kingdom to attack itself. It's been done before. It happened to Jehoshaphat. It can happen with us. Satan's kingdom attacks itself. Jesus said if Satan's kingdom, you know, if goes against itself, it can't stand. That's a hint for us. I know what he's trying to do. He's teaching them, how can I be part of Satan's kingdom? If I'm destroying his kingdom, then his kingdom wouldn't exist anymore. It would fall apart. That's not the case in Jesus' day. But in our day, it ought to happen. Let Satan fight himself. Then he can't stand. How many knows? That's what's supposed to happen. The image will be smitten by a stone in the feet and fall apart. Satan's kingdom's going to collapse. Because Jesus is going to take over, hallelujah. And he wants to take over through you. Do you have a problem with that? He wants to take over through you. Well, why not? Christ is the mystery of God revealed in the believer. When the last elect seed receives the revelation of Christ in you, the hope of glory, then the mystery of God is completely finished. There's not another recipient soul out there that can receive the revelation. It's done. The bride is complete. You can't add another member into her if you wanted to. She cannot have a sixth finger on her hand. She can't have an extra toe. She can't have anything that doesn't make sense. She has to be perfect, but she can't be missing a finger either. Right? That's the mystery of God. Hallelujah. When the last elect seed comes in, then that's it. In the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, in other words, the mystery of God will be finished, and then down comes the mighty angel. I hope you guys understand that. That's exactly how Brother Bram spells it out. In other words, Revelation 10:7 is the shout. Behold, the days of the voice is really the shout, the message that has been sent, amen, how many believe that, to wake us up and raise us up and bring us into the revelation of the hour. Revelation 10:1-6 is the voice of the archangel. Christ will speak and the dead will rise again. Hallelujah. When the last member comes in, that's it. Watch what Brother Branham says here. The mighty angel come down from heaven because the mystery is all finished. And when the mystery is finished, the angel said, time shall be no more. And seven thunders threw their voices out. Now, how many understand time shall be no more? Doesn't mean time ends and we're in eternity, because there's still a millennium coming. There's still a great tribulation or a tribulation period, right? There's still time. Brother Branham clarifies that. What does that mean, time shall be no more? He's saying time for redemption, time to have a person born again and put into the bride of Christ comes to an end. It is done then. There's no more time. That's why some who believe this message are teaching that in 1963, the mighty angel came down, time no more, and there's no more redemption. We're all lost. We're just going through the motions. I mean, why would you bother being a believer if that's the case? These people sitting there in a little group sending messages from New Zealand all over the world about time is no more. It's all over. Seriously, why don't you read everything the prophet said instead of the three quotes you love? You know, that's not giving anybody hope. Hallelujah. That's not what Brother Branham came to do. Listen carefully. When the mystery is completed, then down comes the angel. Time should be no more. And seven thunders throw their voices out. What if that is something to let us know how to enter into rapturing faith? Praise the Lord. And then over and over again, he just repeats it over and over. Every time he talks about seven thunders, he talks about rapturing faith. They're connected. They are connected. Seven thunders is going to trigger a rapturing faith for what he says right here. Is there something fixing to happen? Hallelujah. And these old, marred, vile bodies are going to be changed. I would like to answer that question if you're okay with it. I would say yes. something's going to happen, and these old, marred, anybody have an old body? I'll raise my hand. You don't have to. Marred, anybody got a marred body? Anybody got a marred? Anybody have a vile body? Now I got all of you now, right? Body of humiliation. That's what it's called in Philippians chapter 3. Vile, or 2 rather, vile bodies, he said, is something going to happen that these bodies are going to be changed. Oh my. I'm so excited about that. I hope it doesn't happen yet because I got to get all my family in. I want to see everybody in. But it's going to happen. It's coming. It's right around the corner. Here's another one, 1963. Again, he goes on. He says, and Jesus, his name on earth was Redeemer, Jesus. Hallelujah. Which by the way, means Jehovah or Yahweh is Savior. That's Redeemer. That's what the name is. It's all about redemption. When he was on earth, he was the Redeemer. That's true. But when he conquered death and hell and overcame them and ascended on high, he received a new name. How many knows? That's written in the book of Hebrews and all through the scriptures. Paul refers to it. Jesus received a new name. It's beyond just Jesus. Oh my. But it's still connected to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Watch carefully now. He says, he ascended on high, he received a new name. That's the reason they holler the way they do and don't get nothing. He's talking about the Pentecostal people yelling and hollering and doing all kinds of things. But he was talking about the name of Yahweh, Jehovah. Amen. It's written in the Old Testament. God has declared his name in the Old Covenant, Old Testament, 7,500 times. I had some young people at my house the other day, and they were just sitting there. I said, you know, God wrote this book, and he gives us his name 7,500 times. 7,500 times he declares his name, and it's just written in consonants. And the translators in English just put capital letters, L-O-R-D, and we use the word Lord. But it's 7,500 times. Don't you think God's trying to connect with us? He's trying to, like, in other words, if you tell me you know somebody but you don't know their name, I don't think you know them all that well. And the kids were sitting there, young adults, they said, yeah, that makes sense. If you know somebody well, you know their name. And God wants us to know him well, but now we can't say his name because we don't know it. They said, that's really weird. Why is that? I said, because of religion. The Jews started it out by saying, oh, let's change the way it's written. That way we can never declare it. And then they don't even know how to pronounce it. Isn't that something? So what does Brother Branham say there? Here, he says, that name is the name Jesus received. It will be revealed in the thunders. You think that's strange? I don't think it's strange. I think it's powerful. He says, there's got to be something to change this church. I need a body change. What could change me? Is the name, remember, a name doesn't just declare who a person is. A name also declares their authority. And if Jesus conquered death, not simply he raised the dead boy to life, he raised the dead girl to life, he raised Lazarus to life, those people all grew old and died. That was a temporary resurrection. Jesus can do more than that, and he knows that, and he knows it's coming, and he starts declaring it. But watch, when he himself died, embraced death, faced it, embraced it, and died, succumbed to it, but he also turned the tables, and then he rose again. He conquered death, hell, the grave. How many is worshiping a conqueror? How many realizes he's now living inside of you? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us, who rose from the dead. So what kind of a name, what kind of authority is going to be revealed in the thunders? It's something that can change your bodies. Something that will change your bodies. Watch what Brother Branham says here in the seventh seal. He starts to share, in the seventh seal is when he really starts to break down what the seven thunders are. Watch this. He said seven, God's perfect number, seven. Just right down in the row. Seven thunders uttering straight together like they were spelling out something. What? It's not a term he uses ever that way. You hardly ever see him. He uses the word spelling like four times in the entire, all the messages you have. Spelling out is another. So he's not just trying to use a creative poetic term here. He is saying there was something being spelled out. Can you say amen? And he says his name will be revealed in the thunders. And it's a name that has power over death, hell, and the grave. It's more than what was just, it's not that it's more, but it's an extension. What could save your soul can extend to beyond that, because if your soul is saved, then your spirit could leave your body, and your body just lays there, and your spirit's in another place, and you're still saved. You're in heaven. You're in the air. You're in another dimension. You're still saved. You're happy. Brother Branham was there. He was in his theophany body. You could be there in a theophany body, and he said, oh, do I have to go back? I like it here now. You would love it there, but that's not perfect yet. They're still knowing. They're not quite completed yet, because they need to, as they told him, when we do come to earth, when we go back to earth. See, they knew Brother Branham was going to pass away, because he had moved past the curtain of time. The curtain of time for him would have been when he was 50 years old and he had that experience, to when he passed away, which was 56, so 6 years. That's the curtain of time. So he's experiencing it in advance. But what happens is that he is told, as he's coming back to his body, when we come, we're going to come to earth and pick up redeemed bodies. Hallelujah. We're going to come to earth and pick up redeemed bodies. So something very powerful there. So he says, spelling out something. And that name, and the name that Moses, when he was before God in the pillar of fire in the burning bush, was asking God, if I go to my Jewish brethren, I speak some Hebrew, you know, and I speak some Egyptian, and now I'm with Midian, I speak some Midian language. I don't know that I can declare to them fully who you are, but if you tell me your name, then I can tell them. They're going to ask me. That's how Moses words it, right? What if they ask me what your name is? What am I supposed to tell them? Because up until that point, Paul said nobody knew God's name. Nobody knew God's name till Moses asked. And God declares his name in a very interesting way. He says, I am that I am. What does that even mean? How is that even a name? But it's a beautiful name, because God is saying, he's declaring that I am one who can designate whatever I want to designate about myself. In other words, God can only be known by revelation. And that gives us the understanding in Hebrew of the power of the name I am. It's very powerful. And, you know, Jesus picked up on it. He understood the power of saying I am. It goes beyond being I was or I will be. Because I am means you can be all was and will be and be it. You're there presently, you're eternal. He's the eternal self-existing one who reveals himself. Praise the Lord. So before Abraham, Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. What? You're not 50 years old. How can you see Abraham or know Abraham? Abraham declared that he rejoiced in seeing my day. You know, he really messed them up, because he said, Abraham saw me in this day, because Abraham had a vision. Abraham saw him. But Jesus was declaring, I am before Abraham was, I am. In other words, I'm more than just what you're looking at right here. Oh, we know your father, we know your mother. Jesus was declaring many of these statements on purpose. Watch. I want you to just pay attention to some of these things. He says, I am the bread of life. He says, I am the light of the world. Only John's gospel focuses on Jesus' I am statements. Now, I'm going to say something very powerful here tonight, and if you're spiritual, you're going to pick right up on it. You're going to understand it. How come Matthew, Mark, and Luke don't talk about Jesus saying, I am? How come Matthew, Mark, and Luke don't spend any time on it? Because it's their anointing. That's a lion anointing. That is an ox anointing. That's a man anointing. But when the eagle anointing starts coming, and John's writing his version of the gospel, he includes these words Jesus said. I am. Hallelujah. The bread of life. Hallelujah. Why? Because we're under an eagle anointing. Can you say amen? It has to be in our day that this understanding starts to come alive in the people. Praise the Lord. Watch this. And notice, that Jesus makes his first I am declaration in John chapter 6. And if you understand how John is written, by the time you get to the 6th chapter, remember Jesus fed the 5,000? Remember that? And then they come searching for him, says, I know you're looking for me because you want the miracles and the bread, but you're not even looking for me for the right reason. And then he starts declaring that he is the bread of life. In other words, he's entering his third pole ministry. He begins opening the word. They're following him for the miracles. They're following him to be fed. They're following him because he heals them. He relieves them. He gives them physical help and some maybe emotional help. But he wants to do something bigger spiritually. Praise the Lord. He's been doing healing. He's been doing discernment. They know who he is. He's the Messiah. But they forgot to look for the real reason, which is the third stage of his ministry. He starts opening the word. And when he does, he starts making I am statements. And by the way, he makes 7 of them. Why not 10? Why not 3? I don't know. He makes 7 of those. 7 means something. And also notice that when his ministry begins, that he starts opening the word. And when he starts opening the word, he starts declaring who he is. Notice when the lion anointing starts speaking about the Antichrist, white horse and a bow and going forward and conquering, he starts speaking. He doesn't tell us who he is. In fact, that's the reason why down through the church ages, it's been called the Holy Spirit. It's been called Christ. When it was Antichrist. Isn't that amazing? The church, scholars were declaring that that was Christ in the early church or Christ coming in somewhere else. So now they really, oh, no, it's false. Anyway, so they can't place it right. So now they have it happening in the tribulation period. So they got it all off. And then you see under the ox, that was the lion anointing, the ox anointing. It's a red horse, but still we don't learn who he is. The man anointing doesn't declare who it is. It's the eagle anointing who has an eagle eye view of everything. He declares, oh, by the way, that's death and hell is following. It's the eagle anointing that declares what it is. And God sends us an eagle anointing and a prophet to be able to look at that and tell us exactly what that's all about and nails it down and gives it its proper name. We're moving back into the last Adam days. We're moving back to Adam, where Adam was able to look at an animal, watch his behavior, and tell you who he was. That's a monkey. That's a horse. Jesus could declare stuff right in people's faces, right? He could identify. It's all about identifying. Because why? Because once you have the true anointing in your life, the eagle anointing in your life, it identifies you. You receive your identification. As soon as you have yours, you understand everyone else's identification. Hallelujah. And as soon as Abel had a revelation and he had faith and he offered his sacrifice to God and he had a bloody, messy sacrifice, Cain came over and says, look, mine is beautiful, yours is ugly. Why is God honoring your sacrifice? Because Abel said, because I have a revelation. It was something to do with an animal that caused us to get knocked out of the garden. You know, mommy and an animal had hanky-panky, and daddy and mommy had the same, and then I was born. But that other animal, the serpent, produced something else. You're talking about me? You talking to me? You know, he gets upset. He kills them. Every time you have a true revelation, you have a true identification of who you are, everyone around you, you're going to know them. And that's the reason why Jesus makes these I am statements, and 3 times, 4 times, I think it is, well, let me just word it this way. The first time he makes an I am statement, I am the bread of life, that's the opening of the word, John chapter 6. You get to John chapter 6, verse 66. Anybody think about numbers? And it says, and the disciples left him because they couldn't understand what he was talking about. There was a falling away. They go to the mark of the beast because they can't stay under the seal of the Holy Ghost. And they got upset with him. They were tired of it. They couldn't take it anymore. That's where people are at today. They just can't do it anymore. They just can't keep pretending to be identified with something they're not identified with. Pray for some of them because some are coming back, believe me. Some are coming back. It's going to happen. They're starting to. It's done now. You won't see much more falling away going on now. There's a few things. I don't even know if I could say this, but there's a brother that has preached this message so hard for so many years, and now he's getting ready to get up and tell this church he's leaving it. I don't think I can say his name, but you'll learn. You'll know who it is. Amen. It begins with a T. That's all I'm going to tell you. So you know that I'm not just saying things. It's going to happen. But it's very little now. And you'll watch it's petering out. And the bottom line is that some are going to come back. But here's the thing. There are so many times that Jesus said, I am, and people left. I am. His revelation of his message was identifying him. See, that's why I believe when the seventh seal was revealed to Brother Branham, it revealed to him who he was. He understood, I'm Revelation 10:7. You can tell because he starts wording things in strange ways. He says, when has there ever been in the days of Lot, anyone like an Abraham with the name Abraham that ended in H-A-M? When was there ever that? Oh, we have a Billy Graham. But Billy Graham is spelled G-R-H-A-M. That's six letters. And then he just goes on and keeps preaching. Because he's leaving the Holy Spirit a chance to get in your head and into your heart and say, hey, wait a minute, Branham, B-R-A-N-H-A-M. That's seven. I got it. You know, he's trying to give you an opportunity to get it by the Holy Spirit. He can't just tell you that no prophet who declares himself is a prophet of God. He's got to leave it for you to get it. You have to understand it. Do you love the Lord with all your heart? Oh my, I think I can preach that because I think you all got that now, right? By revelation, not because somebody told you, not because I told you. But so many other times Jesus would say, use the term I am, and the Jews would pick up stones. The highest, most effective religious people of all the ages, because God's chosen people, were trying to kill their very Messiah because he identified himself. He would say, I am. He'd go, oh, you make yourself equal with God. You're making yourself God. You're a man. He said, I am. They tried to stone him. They tried to kill him. They tried to throw him off a cliff. They couldn't do it. Listen, saints, when you truly stand up and live for Christ and live the life of Jesus Christ, believe me, you're going to have enemies. As long as we try to fit in with this world, we're going to have friends. But if you just live for Jesus Christ, you're not being rude to anybody. All you're doing is identifying yourself. I'm the bride of Christ. I'm going into rapture. What about the church? One man said, I can't read this book. Here, you take that message back. That man in there called me a vulture. He goes, that's funny. I read the same book. He called me an eagle. You know, the book, the word, the Bible is just a mirror. Just look, you just shine, you know, look in here. What do you see? What? That made me look like a devil. Well, maybe because it's a mirror and you are a devil. Maybe that's it. But wait a minute, it makes me look like I'm a son of God, a daughter of God. Hallelujah. It's the same word. It's just going to land where it's going to land. Hallelujah. I think it's exciting. Now here's the best part. John 11:23-26. Getting to a point where Jesus is really, you know, deep into his, in fact, this is just before his triumphal entry. He's going to come into Jerusalem and he's going to allow the people to declare who he is. He knows who he is, of course. And Jesus said, your brother will rise and live again, Martha. And Martha answered, I know that he will rise and live again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. How do you make a statement like that? I am the resurrection and the life. How can you make a statement like that? You hear how he's wording that? I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus could say, I am the resurrection. He could say, I am the life. In other words, what he's saying is, if you die, I'm going to resurrect you. And if you're there when the resurrection happens, I'm the life for you. You're never going to die. I'm the resurrection and the life. Watch, he'll take that title and roll it up for us. He says, those who believe in me, even if they die, they shall live. I am the resurrection. And everyone who lives and believes in me at that age will never die. I am the life. I want you to know the life is here. Amen. The word is here. Christ is here. He says, do you believe this? And I'm going to ask you tonight, do you believe this? Do you believe that Christ is the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that Christ is the mystery of God revealed, that he is the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that Christ, who's now living inside of you, is the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that that is who he is? Has he identified himself in our day? He certainly has. The personal name of Jehovah or Yahweh, both of these pronunciations are incorrect. Jehovah and Yahweh. Jehovah's Witnesses are actually struggling right now because they realize, oops, not quite right. It's a nice English translation, but it's not the original name. And that's their whole big deal, that Jehovah is the correct name of God, not Jesus. But Jehovah was not even the proper pronunciation. There's nothing in Jewish language that would allow you to say it that way. No. Yahweh, that's been the newest form. But both of these pronunciations, also being incorrect, are yielding incorrect revelation. Yahweh is more Hebrew than Jehovah. Obviously, Jehovah is not Hebrew at all. Yahweh is Hebrew, but it actually simply is declaring that he is. And when Moses asked God, what's your name? God didn't say he is who he is. He didn't say Yahweh, Yahweh. He said, I am what I am. Is the difference. At some point, saints, you're going to realize that your authority is not coming from saying he is. It's not going to come from you saying, I'm going to cast out that devil in the name of Jesus Christ that Paul preaches. Your indirect revelation is not going to get you there. I'm going to ask God to heal you in the name of Jesus that Brother Branham preached. Won't work. At some point, you have to realize it is the Christ that is in you. Christ himself in you is actually bringing people's faith up to a level that they can receive healing that he paid for at Calvary 2,000 years ago. That's it. You can't do it. I can't convince you to be healed. I can't convince your faith. Faith is not a part of us that gets convinced. Faith is a part of us that can create a whole world and go live on it. It just has to be anointed. It has to receive orders. Orders are connected to time. The authority to do it is already there. I have authority right now. I can go create a world and go live on it. Sometimes I want to do that. It's not because of you guys. But you understand what I'm saying, right? You get it. We want to live. We could do it. You have authority to do it. You have authority to move a mountain. You can move a mountain instantly. But you need the orders to do it. I hope that's clear. Right? And you'll find that the orders are coming with the authority when the time is correct. The orders are connected to a time. The authority is not. Hallelujah. So what are we learning from this? The personal name Jehovah Yahweh or Yahweh gives the incorrect revelation. It signifies that our God is a God. The proper pronunciation is showing us that our God is the God of the resurrection and the body change. Do you believe that? That's the God. The God of the resurrection. How many is worshiping and believes in and is connected to the God of the resurrection and the body change? How many here can say, that's me? Then I'm telling you right now, that same God is also the same God who can heal you. I mean, if he can raise you from the dead, why can't he heal you? He can. He is doing it. He's just waiting for you. Matthew 22, verse 31 through 33, we're going to find a connection here. Of the I am. Now, this is not where Jesus declares himself as I am, but watch what he does in his teaching here about the significance of I am and how it's connected to life and resurrection. Can you say praise God? He says, but concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? Remember, why is that important? Because God was telling Moses many years, even centuries after Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, that I am the God of Abraham. Not I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why is that important? Because what God is telling Moses is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're not dead. They're still alive. Do you get it? I am the God of a living Abraham and a living Isaac and a living Jacob. Therefore, Jesus takes that one little statement that that God gives Moses when God begins declaring that he's an I am God. And he says, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Every religion, their gods are gods of the dead. But our God is the God of the living. He's not God of the dead. He's God of the living. And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. Wow, I wish people were a little more astonished today. We need to be a little more astonished about this. He's not the God of the dead. He's God of the living. The bride's revelation from Scripture has been lost. The early church were grasping it. They were catching it. They were understanding this same Christ who lived, who ministered, who did miracles, signs, and wonders, who was persecuted and killed because he identified himself, who died, but rose again and created an even greater identity and ascended on high. This same one returned on the day of Pentecost and entered into us, and now he is moving into us. It is Christ in flesh. Remember what the Antichrist spirit is all about. The early writers, Paul, Peter, James, all those guys were trying to tell the people, be aware of the Antichrist spirit that's already here. What was it? He said, it's the spirit that is declaring that Christ is not come in the flesh. Or in other words, instead of saying, they're not declaring that Christ did not come in the flesh, they're declaring that. But he says, they're declaring Christ isn't come in the flesh. Present tense. That this thing you see happening, these people filled with the Spirit of God, doing signs and wonders, healing people, all these things, they're denying that it's Christ. That's Antichrist. Christ is coming in the flesh, is one translation, because out of the Greek, it is present tense. Christ is, the Antichrist spirit declares that Christ isn't coming in the flesh right now. Then what's our revelation? Our revelation is Christ is coming in the flesh. Those are counterpoint against each other. That's what the devil wants to stop. He doesn't care if you want to believe Jesus lived and died and resurrected. He doesn't even care about resurrection. What he doesn't want anyone to know is that on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came, it was the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We're not one person, not two persons, not three persons of the Godhead, but the person of God, Father and Son, Holy Spirit too, all come into the believer and make their home here. People say, I have the Holy Spirit. I got the third person of the Trinity living in me. Jesus is up there and the Father's over here. And you've got a portion of God in you that makes you part of the Godhead. Well, how can that be? Because the fullness of the Godhead is dwelling bodily in you right now. So the bride's revelation from Scripture was lost, but God promised, I'm going to restore it. This is what this mystery of God is all about. Voice of the seventh messenger will begin blowing a trumpet sound of a gospel, 1963, happening still in our day. Can you say amen? Of the mystery of God being completed in us. Has to be brought to completion. What is it? What was missing? 1 Corinthians 15:10. You want to know? The Apostle Paul had a revelation of it. You ready for this? You sure you can handle this? Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul, you can't say that. Let's stone him. And they did. They stoned him. They tried to kill him. They beat him with sticks. He went shipwreck. He suffered. He went through all kinds of things because he understood, I am what I am. But I am what I am by the grace of God. Not because I'm just making that up, but by grace. When the Spirit of God came in me, I am entered me. I am, 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 I am. Hallelujah. When all of us can live our lives in such a way that our lives become a voice of I am together in unison, working together with this invisible union of Jesus Christ stepping into a bride, I'm telling you right now, nothing can stand before us. We become an invincible army. Amen. Nothing can stand before us. Are you the bride of Christ? Then I want you to say this with me. I am Mrs. Jesus Christ. You just declared it and I am. How about another one? Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Do you believe him? Then I want you to say it. I am the light of the world. You just repeat. You don't sound too convinced, saints. You just told Jesus, I don't know. I am the light of the world. This is the darkest age you can ever live in. We are the brightest the light will ever shine. I am the light of the world. I am the light of South Windsor. I am the light of Wallingford. I am the light of Connecticut. I am the light of America. We are living in a time of light. Amen. You are light shining in a dark place. I am the light of the world. Hallelujah. Jesus said before Abraham was, I am. And how many here was predestinated before the foundation of the world? You can say before Abraham was, I am. I can say it. Before Abraham was, I am. Oh my. I can say I am the manifested thought of God. I am God's creative thought on full display. We got to start speaking like this, saints. This will liberate you and make Satan hate your guts. But what do you want to do? You want to be pals with Satan, or do you want to just get over it? Time for a rapture. I'm done with him. I'm kind of sick of him. He's been messing with this body long enough. It's become a vile, humiliated body, and it's time for this body to be redeemed. And since I'm living and I'm still alive and I believe Jesus is the life, then this has to be changed. Don't you believe that? I am the bride coming of Christ. Well, are you? Then why aren't you declaring it? You're the only coming of Christ some people will ever see. They're not going to see him when he comes to the air. It'll be too late by then. You're it. He's just waiting for you to catch it and start saying it. I am the bride coming of Christ. The bride can say, I am the sinless, virtuous daughter of God. Can you really say it? Can you really say, I am sinless? Jesus said that by once, or the Hebrew writer said that Jesus, by one sacrifice, has perfected us once and for all who are being sanctified. Hallelujah. I am perfect. Brother James, come on, brother. At least you say it. I'm telling you, everything in your makeup saying you can't talk like this, right? Amen. Too bad. Bring it all in order. How do you think you're ever going to get your atoms to get in order if you can't get your thoughts in order? Get your thoughts lined up with the Word of God. I am perfect. I am sinless. I am one who never did it in the first place. Doesn't matter what you do in the last place. What matters is what you did in the first place. Doesn't mean you live like a pig and you're being a slob. I'm quoting these things because it's in Scripture. They understood it. I am. Can we say this here tonight? I am the church without spot or wrinkle. You're going to be a church without spot or wrinkle. Why do we think it's in the future? It's right now. You're it. That's what a bride is. He's not marrying an old, messy, dirty bride. He's marrying a spotless, no wrinkle bride. Hallelujah. The bride can declare, I am Jesus in a bride form. Wow, can you really say that? You can't say that. The church world is going to persecute you because you're identifying yourself as the bride and they're the church and there's something different and they don't like that. But it doesn't matter. Satan's anointing a church. God is anointing a bride. The anointing and the revelation of this hour is I am Jesus in a bride form. I am the only Jesus some people will ever see. You can say it that way if you feel better, because a lot of people, even denominations, will say those words. Hallelujah. The bride can say, I am who I am by the grace of God. Oh my. Hallelujah. How about this one? The prophet of God said, she is him. So you can say, I am him. What? I am him. When you've seen me, you've seen Christ. Not me, the preacher, and I'm bigger than you and you're little nobodies. But I'm speaking so you get, I'm trying to give you language. I'm kind of like one of those, you know, people travel all over the world. And they get a job to go travel to another country to teach English. They go to Germany to teach English. They go to, you know, Asia or Japan to teach English. They go to Africa to teach English. They get paid to do it. Well, I'm here to teach you heavenly language. Hey, amen. It's another language. You got to learn to speak a different language. I am him. And at some point, if you keep declaring it and understanding it, you're going to realize at some point there's going to be a shift. Because right now, all of us are constantly thinking of our own old identification with the old man. And we're very connected with our old man. And we don't know how to put on the new man because we're sort of glued to the old man. And the old man mindset is, I am the son of Charles and Ella Branham. Right? I am the son of my mom and dad. I am the son, right? We're sort of connected. But what God's trying to get us to do is to disconnect from that identification and be reconnected to the new man, which is Christ created in you. Hallelujah! The new man. So that you can stop saying, I am, you know, my thoughts are, I am Elijah. What's your name? You say, I'm Mark. But really, what is your name, Mark? That's the real name. The whole family in heaven and earth is named Lord Jesus Christ. I am him. I really am. You really are. The new birth changes what was born, not you again. Nicodemus couldn't even figure that out, but by now you ought to know. It's not you again. Yeah, but wait a minute, I still do some old habits. Look, the man you used to be, that guy is dead. But there are some old symptoms of the disease. You know how you get a cold and finally you're over it, but you're still, right? That's just symptoms of a past thing that resided there. That's gone. It's dead. Don't worry about the symptoms. They're going to keep fading away. Don't be identified with it. Oh, I got this nasty cold. I'm sick. Stop it. And if any one of you ever tells me ever again, I'm coming down with a cold, I'm going to come down on you. I don't want those kind of confessions. You can say, I'm defeating a cold right now. I'm fighting a cold right now. You can say that if you want. That's okay. You can say that. I have a health challenge. Right. Not my diabetes is so bad. I don't know. Well, your diabetes loves you because now you own him. Right. You said my. You use a possessive pronoun, so you own it. You possess it. Doesn't even have to possess you anymore. You possess it. So it's not going anywhere. You want something to disappear out of your life? Dispossess it. I don't own you anymore. You're gone. Amen. I am him. She can declare, I am the bride's revival. Yes. If a police officer can say, I am the Welsh revival, why can't you say, I am the bride's revival? Yeah. You're the thing. You're it. You're the greatest revival that's ever struck this earth. Amen. And don't think it's already over or happened already. It's just getting started. We're just getting rolling. The bride can declare, I am. This is going to be a tough one for you, I know. I got to say it, though. The bride can declare with the mighty conqueror who rent the veil in two, who lives within you, can declare, I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah! He that's in me is greater than he that's in the world, including death, hell, and the grave. It's greater. I am the rapture. I am the final voice to this final age. And on and on and on it goes. You can just keep on finding them. From now on, when you listen to the message and you read the Bible, I want you to start finding places. Oh, that's. This is no longer about what God can do for me. This is what I'm becoming. Amen. Because it's better for me, Brother Marty, to teach you how to fish, even though you're probably a professional compared to me, than to just keep handing you fish. Amen. Doesn't that make sense? Yes. If somebody's handing me fish, I'm like, hey, just show me how you do it. Because I want to do it like you're doing it. I'll take care of myself. That's exactly what Jesus was trying to do for 3.5 years. He was showing them, he was demonstrating, and so on and so on, and they were learning, but he was trying to get them to a point where he's, look, I want you to do this yourself. Why do you think he said, when the disciples came to him, hey, there's like 5,000, 10,000, 15,000, because when you count all the women and children, people here, you've been preaching to them, you've healed their sick, they've been walking all around, they're tired, can we just send them home? They're hungry, they need to go home and buy victuals, food, and go eat, and he said, feed them. Why would Jesus say that? Because he knew what he could do. He was hoping they were catching it by now. You feed them. They said, all we have is a lunchbox the little kid gave us. Isn't that amazing? Peter says, Lord, if that's really you walking on the water, let me walk on the water. And then Peter right away bit his tongue and says, why do I always talk so fast? What an idiot. And Jesus says, okay, yeah, come on. And Peter walked on water. And it was only fear and worry that, you know, he lost his identification. As long as he was connected to Christ and had his eyes on the Lord, he was fine. I'm telling you, we got to get our eyes off ourselves, our eyes off men, our eyes off systems, and get our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ who resides within us. Everything he ever did, he can do again, over and over again. Here's the quote. How much time I got? Ooh, I am out of time. Mark, could you go up there and just, with a hammer, maybe hit the clock? Speak that clock backwards. All right. Here it is. Christ's mystery of God revealed. God has revealed to you this great mystery. That's a new birth. Now, what are you going to do when you get all that group together, where the revelation is perfectly in harmony and God expressing it through his word by the same actions? You know why you can't get the whole group together that has the same revelation? Because the devil keeps separating us. Amen. I don't blame man. I blame the devil for this. So one of these days, all of us are going to say, you know what? That's it. The devil's the one doing it, and we got to come together. Let's just come together. And what's going to happen when you get that whole group together? He says, what's going to happen? It's going to be the same word, same actions, making the word manifest. Oh, if the church only knew its position. Hallelujah. It will one day, then the rapture will go when it knows what it is. Now, you've got to be able to put that connection together. He's talking about us as a people, as a group. When you can get each individual that's born again has this revelation in them together, then the church will know what it is. Then the church will know its position. It's not going to be one preacher and his church is reached the pinnacle and it's got perfected because that guy preached it so well. It's going to be all of us because you already have it. You really don't even need me to preach to you anymore. What we've got to do is come together. We need the last member in and all of us come together. And he says, what's going to happen then? Then the church will know its position and the rapture will go when it knows what it is. I am what I am. That's what I am. Hallelujah. You know what's so powerful about saying I am what I am? God never has to try to compare himself with any other gods. What God am I going to tell these? Because they are down there in Egypt and all they've been hearing about is Ra and Zaw and Flaw and Craw and all these crazy gods. So what God am I going to tell them that your name is? God says I am what I am. That's a really great name because it means I'm not. You don't have to compare me to anything like that. Who cares? I don't care. I am what I am. And it has to be the same. The Apostle Paul came to such a profound revelation by a new birth of who he was that he didn't mind starting all his letters out with, I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, called by God, not by man. This guy knew who he was. People say, oh, a prophet who declares himself as a false prophet. Brother Branham called himself a prophet all the time. Blah, blah, blah. You won't find one quote where he says, I'm a prophet. He will say something to the effect of, do you believe me to be a prophet? There's a big difference. The point is that since I'm a pastor here, if you don't believe me to be a pastor that God has anointed and sent, I can't help you. You're not going to go to a guy that says he's a doctor and you go in there and he's like, he's acting all funky like he just got out of college or something. You're going to say, I got a call. I got to leave. There's a family emergency. I'll see you later, right? Because you don't trust the guy. It doesn't matter. You got to believe somebody. You got to trust somebody in order for them to help you. Amen. God can't help us because he always uses human instrument. Praise the Lord. And so here it is. The rapture will go when she knows what, or it, the church knows what it is, meaning the church, the bride, not the other church, the so-called church. And here's another one, Church Age book. He says, he was God created in the form of man. Now, by his spirit, he is creating many sons unto himself. Now, this is going to get very, very powerful, and I'm winding this up because I only have two more quotes after this, and it's over. Listen, though. God, through the Holy Spirit, from the day of Pentecost on, God has been creating many sons unto himself. Here it is. He says, God the Creator creating himself a part of his creation.
Oh my. This is the true revelation of God. The beginning of the creation of God is what he's deliberating on. That verse in the Bible is so profound that Jesus Christ is the beginning of the creation of God. In other words, Christ, when God formed a body and a man was born and raised and God dwelt inside of this man called Jesus, God was beginning something called the creation of God. It doesn't make sense because God is uncreatable. He is a creator, but he can't be created. But see, what he's doing is he's creating himself. In other words, he is creating a form of expression of himself. Amen. We're not all going to look alike. We're all going to look different. But it's still going to be the same God. But I just think that this is such a powerful revelation. This is the true revelation of God. He says, God the creator creating himself a part of his creation. Why don't you look around the room right now? You're looking at God creating himself in your brother and in your sister. That is some powerful stuff. Oh my. Watch what he also says in the Church Age book. And he's talking about the part where he says, the Holy Spirit told me to pick up the pen and start writing. He says, Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. Satan fights that. What is Satan fighting? The book of Acts coming back again. Why would Peter be able to walk down the street and the sun shining and his shadow be hit just right over people laying in the streets on cots, sick? And as he's walking, his shadow, just a shadow, not his foot, not his clothing, a shadow of Peter is hitting these people on their feet or heads. And they are getting up and walking away with their cots. That wasn't Peter. That was God. That was God in Peter. Do you believe that? Is God different? Is Jesus different? Isn't he not the same yesterday, today, and forever? Why have we lost that revelation? Then God sends us a prophet to bring us back. Instead, we go and venerate a prophet and make him into something big on a pedestal, and we forgot that the purpose of the prophet was to get us to wake up as to who we are. If you know who he is, wonderful, but who are you? It doesn't work, saints. We're not going to cast out demons by telling people who Paul was. I cast you out in the name of Jesus Christ whom Paul preached. We're not going to cast out demons by telling people who Brother Branham was. It's a part of it, but that's not what's going to do it. It's going to be with authority. You are speaking because it's Christ in you doing the speaking. Just the way Brother Branham did it. Look, the prophet demonstrated to us what we should be doing. Because otherwise we are going counter to his own words that said, I never, at the end of the Church Age book, I never for one moment ever did anything to try to start a following or that anybody would set up a church or organization based on who I am or what I'm doing. Go read it. But we're doing it. Stop doing that. We need to walk forward, looking forward, not looking backward. That doesn't mean, oh, we're going beyond Brother Branham, because we're in the voice, his voice of this age. But we need to become the seventh messenger's voice. That's better than just preaching it. That's better than just pointing to it. That's better than just making a big deal out of that, like it's over in some building that's shaped like an eagle with a clipped wing. You know what I'm talking about? An eagle missing half his wing. That's not where the message is. That is not the storehouse. The storehouse is one thing. David put the ark in the storehouse. But when Solomon came, it went right into the temple. Then that temple became the active, moving motion of God Almighty himself. He came down in a cloud in glory and so on. Do you believe that? Watch what he says here now. Satan fights that. Christ in the true church. He fights that. He cannot stand it. Anybody here ever said, I can't stand the devil? Anybody here ever said that? Let's make him say that now. Amen. Let's make it where he's saying, I can't stand that Tommy guy. Amen. Can't stand him. I used to have fun with him, messes with him. Now I can't stand him anymore. Amen. And Tommy's over there smiling. Devil can't stand me. And your brother over there, Mark, is saying, poor old devil. Poor old devil. Right? That's how it ought to be. Poor old devil. He's messing with the wrong person. Satan fights that. He cannot stand it. He knows. Satan knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is, what she stands for, those are different things, but they're good. And that she can do the greater works. If the people get the true revelation that we can do the greater works, we're not doing them yet, so we need it. I believe it. I know it. I understand it. We need the true revelation. What's he saying here? He says she will be an invincible army. Amen. If somebody shuts this church down and shuts down your ability to even have oil, gas, electricity running to your house, and now it's getting cold, it's supposed to go down to 10 degrees tonight. Imagine that you just simply speak a word and you got the warmest, toastiest house on your whole street. In fact, there's a power outage and everybody else loses power and they're all suffering. They're building fires in their living room floor. They got all their trying to run heaters, with fuel. And you're just sitting there all cozy in bed because with no power source except the Spirit of God, you just spoke the word and the word is manifested. Why not? We need to practice it. Your car starts spluttering, pull it over the side of the road, lay your hands on it, pray over it, and speak on it. Get back in and start driving. You got to just start doing it. You got to put yourself in the... Let me explain something about true revelation. True revelation, divine revelation, comes to any one of us when we're in the right place. You got to get in the right place. And here's what Brother Branham said about it. He says, you have to say the right thing. Amen. You'll notice him waiting for the second pole to happen every single time. At the end of a sermon, he's trying to set up the prayer line. And he's saying, you know, I'm just waiting. I can't do anything until he comes. And then he just starts talking. Jesus and the woman at the well. He just talks. What is he doing? He says, I'm trying to contact your spirit. You know what he's doing? He said this in one place. He says, in a few places, he says, I keep talking because I want to say just the right thing. And you'll notice he'll say something very kind of just really beautiful. And then all of a sudden he says, okay, he's here. Okay, he's here. Say the right thing, puts you in the right position. And a divine revelation comes, anything can happen. I'm telling you, that's how it works. But we're just so busy waiting for the preacher to do it. My job is to get you to do it. I'm only a Levite. I serve the priesthood. You're the priesthood. You're the one that brings the fire of God down. I don't do that. You do that. I'm not preaching to a bunch of Judahites. I'm not preaching to a bunch of Benjaminites. I'm not preaching to... You are the priesthood. You have an elevated position. My job is to serve you so you can serve him. I don't serve him and you come and serve me. That's how the church is set up today. That's why the word church is not even in the Bible. It's not. It's a translation of ecclesia, and ecclesia is a Greek word which means called out to. Amen. You're called out of something into something. That's really what it means. It means an assembly. So it's focused on the people, and it's a living organism, whereas the word church is focused on a building. Because it comes from the cure word. I don't really know how to say it now, but it's a Greek word that means Lord. In other words, it could be saying, okay, it's what the Lord owns. But Lord is very generic. It could be also talking about the emperor of Rome. Because that's what the Roman Empire called the buildings that were owned by the government and the buildings that were owned by the false gods, the temples that they worshiped. Call them churches. Isn't that amazing? You ever think about that? It's really focused on the building made of brick and mortar. And the word ecclesia is focused on a people. Assembly is a better word because you're still talking about the people. It's really actually how that word was translated in Greek in the time of the writing of the Bible, in the time of the apostles' writings. When they used the word ecclesia, they were talking about an assembly in Christ. Big difference. Isn't that amazing how they've messed up our Bible? That's all right. We'll still use the word church, but we know the church doesn't go into rapture, but the bride does. Hallelujah. I hope you get that. You can't call a bride a building. If we go to the bride, that'd be weird. We go to church. Yeah, okay. You go to church. In other words, you're not the church. Oh, isn't God good? He says, if they can get the true revelation, are you ready to be an invincible army? How many wants to be invincible? Let's all stand. If you get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, and by God's spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before you. And I want you to, by the Spirit of God, discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit in your personal life. Discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit in your home life. Discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit at work. That doesn't mean you yell at your boss and call him a devil worshiper. That means you simply know what to do. You can get into prayer, even in the men's room at your work or ladies' room, wherever you work, and just use the power of God to clean that place up. I'm telling you now, that's what you're called to do. In this church, in this building, among all the assemblies, we need to clear the devil right straight out of every assembly that's in Jesus Christ today. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. Satan will be powerless before her. Now, here's the last part of that. He says, with true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. Isn't that scripture? Amen. I'll build my church upon this rock, and the gates of hell cannot prevail. If you have the revelation, the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. Are you built on the revelation of Jesus Christ? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? Now, notice he adds this part, and I love it. He says, but we will prevail over them. We will prevail over the gates of hell. Saints, I'm going to try to say something real quick here. The gates of hell are portals. They're avenues that demons can pour into our world. They're all over the place. I can see now, you can see a lot of this when people go to concerts, and the way that's set up and what's happening there is it creates a doorway and demons pour in. Amen. Stuff that people just now, you know, it used to be you put the TV on, you're watching something and there's some perverted thing comes on, and what happens is demons start flowing right in. The TV becomes a portal. Your cell phone becomes a portal. You could be walking down a street and some woman is anointed by demons, half-dressed. Or it can be some guy is anointed by a demon driving across your path and almost hits you. And you start getting all upset. See, that's just another demon. That's one demon there, one over here. They're just all waiting around you. But the angels of God are around them. We have a greater army who can mess them up. So you see, they're just waiting to trip you up. And so understand, that's the system. That is it. The gates of hell are open and they're here. And when the word opened, when the seals opened in 1963, heaven opened, hell opened. You understand that? Amen. These things are pouring right into our land. Look at the messed up way people are that's considered normal. They're demon possessed and it's normal. Amen. And now we're glorifying these abnormal. Sorry, but that's a fact. That's the age we're living in. This is what the thunders is all about, saints. Listen, they will give the bride such a powerful revelation and anointing that even hell, death, and the grave must obey her. If Jesus Christ conquered hell, death, and the grave, and he's living in you, at some point, you must realize it's not just him living in you, but it's him and you are one and the same. God sent us a messenger to identify that we're not just receiving a part of the Lord, we are becoming united with him in an invisible union, making us one. Brother Branham says the person who has the person with the Holy Spirit is one person with the Holy Spirit. You're one person. God is one person. And you and God become one person. God creating himself in you, part of the creation. Oh, saints, I don't know, but I'm just trying to get this myself, so I hope you're catching it. Hell, death, the grave, sickness must obey you. Last quote. It'll take those seven unknown thunders back there to wake her up again. He will send it. He promised to. Now watch. Now she was dead. She is going to wake up again. When Brother Branham was in Hartford, Connecticut, the only other place I found him use the term wake her up again was in Hartford, Connecticut, 1958. He says, I was in a meeting one night. Lady died sitting over there to my left, and the doctor there went over to find a pulse, and it was gone. And to see the great, this is in Hartford, Connecticut, he says, to see the great Holy Spirit turn and call that woman's name and wake her up again. He says, and that happened in Hartford, Connecticut. Saints are just waiting for us. They want to wake up again. They're waiting for us. We just got to get the revelation. It's Christ in us. We are the only expression of the coming of Jesus Christ that people are going to see. We're it. Hallelujah. That's all they're going to see. Until they come and be part of it. Do you want to do that with all your heart? How many wants to be a part of it? Then you are part of it by God's grace. Amen. Father, we just thank you for this service tonight. I ask that, Father God, you would just help us to become super identified with who we really are, Lord. He said it very clearly. Your prophet said that when the church, when the bride knows what she is, who she is, oh my, nothing can stand before her. She becomes invincible and Satan becomes powerless. What a beautiful situation that is. Father, we ask you to grant it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now, this revelation tonight is strong. You go home. You're going to be challenged today. Tomorrow, you're going to be challenged. You're going to be challenged this week. Don't expect you're not going to be challenged. You're going to be challenged because the devil wants to mess with it. He can't have you get this. You can't get this. You're not supposed to get this. I'm not supposed to get it. So Satan's got to mess with you. So is it okay if I tell you that? So you're ready? So you're kind of prepared? So when he shows up, you can be like Martin, or not Martin, it was somebody else, I forget, Smith Wigglesworth, who woke up, saw the devil sitting on the end of his bed, and he goes, oh, it's just you, and he rolled over and went back to sleep. His sleep was more important than that mess that was sitting there. Can we just get that way? Realize that old devil, don't be sitting there all afraid of him. Oh, I hope he doesn't mess with me. He seems to get the best of me. Get the best of him. It's time for us to step into our role, saints. We got to do it. I need to do it. You need to do it. We all have to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Who I am, Lord. Who I am. Well, I can see now just who I am. Amen, a part of his word. That's right. Revelation of who I am. Who I am, Lord. Sing it again. Who I am. Hallelujah. Well, I can see now just who I am. I'm a part of my Savior. I'm a part of his word. And it's a revelation of who I am. Amen. We'll see you on Sunday by the grace of God. And we'll have a Christmas production then, and a little Christmas message. We'll be prepared for entering the new year. We've got 2020 vision coming ahead of us. Amen. 2020 is coming.
My, what is God doing? Get ready. It's coming. God bless you. You're dismissed. Shake somebody's hand in the name of Jesus Christ. Who I am, Lord, just who I am. Well, I can see now just who I am. I'm a part of Creator. Yes, Lord. I'm a part of your word. It's a revelation as who I am. Oh, who I am.